Eaguan of Prince Edward Island. Diana Wright, 3 years older than when we last saw her, had grown somewhat matronly in the intervening time. But her eyes were as black and brilliant, her cheeks as rosy, and her dimples as enchanting, as in the long-ago days when she and Anne Shirley had vowed eternal friendship in the garden at Orchard Slope. In her arms she held a small, sleeping, black-curled creature, who for 2 happy years had been known to the world of Avonlea as Small Anne Cordelia. Avonlea folks knew why Diana had called her Anne, of course, but Avonlea folks were puzzled by the Cordelia. There had never been a Cordelia in the Wright or Barry connections. Mrs. Harmon Andrews said she supposed Diana had found the name in some trashy novel, and wondered that Fred hadn't more sense than to allow it. But Diana and Anne smiled at each other. They knew how Small Anne Cordelia had come by her name. "You always hated geometry," said Diana, with a retrospective smile. "I should think you'd be real glad to be through with teaching, anyhow." "Oh, I've always liked teaching, apart from geometry. These past 3 years in Summerside have been very pleasant ones. Mrs. Harmon Andrews told me, when I came home, that I wouldn't likely find married life as much better than teaching as I expected. Evidently, Mrs. Harmon is of Hamlet's opinion, that it may be better to bear the ills that we have than fly to others that we know not of." Anne's laugh, as blithe and irresistible as of yore, with an added note of sweetness and maturity, rang through the garret. Marilla, in the kitchen below, compounding blue plum preserve, heard it and smiled. Then sighed to think how seldom that dear laugh would echo through Green Gables in the years to come. Nothing in her life had ever given Marilla so much happiness as the knowledge that Anne was going to marry Gilbert Blythe. But every joy must bring with it its little shadow of sorrow. During the 3 Summerside years, Anne had been home often for vacations and weekends, but after this, a biannual visit would be as much as could be hoped for. "You needn't let what Mrs. Harmon says worry you," said Diana, with the calm assurance of the 4 years matron. "Married life has its ups and downs, of course. You mustn't expect that everything will always go smoothly. But I can assure you, Anne, that it's a happy life when you're married to the right man." Anne smothered a smile. Diana's airs of vast experience always amused her a little. "I dare say I'll be putting them on, too, when I've been married 4 years," she thought. "Surely my sense of humor will preserve me from it, though." "Is it settled yet where you are going to live?" asked Diana, cuddling Small Anne Cordelia with the inimitable gesture of motherhood, which always sent through Anne's heart, filled with sweet, unuttered dreams and hopes, a thrill that was half pure pleasure and half a strange, ethereal pain. "Yes, that was what I wanted to tell you when I phoned to you to come down today. By the way, I can't realize that we really have telephones in Avonlea now. It sounds so preposterously up-to-date and modernish for this darling, leisurely old place." "We can thank the AVIS for them," said Diana. "We should never have got the line if they hadn't taken the matter up and carried it through. There was enough cold water thrown to discourage any society. But they stuck to it, nevertheless. You did a splendid thing for Avonlea when you founded that society, Anne. What fun we did have at our meetings. Will you ever forget the Blue Hall and Judson Parker's scheme for painting medicine advertisements on his fence?" "I don't know that I'm wholly grateful to the AVIS in the matter of the telephone," said Anne. "Oh, I know it's most convenient, even more so than our old device of signaling to each other by flashes of candlelight. And as Mrs. Rachel says, Avonlea must keep up with the procession, that's what. But somehow I feel as if I didn't want Avonlea spoiled by what Mr. Harrison, when he wants to be witty, calls modern inconveniences. I should like to have it kept always, just as it was in the dear old years. That's foolish and sentimental and impossible. So I shall immediately become wise and practical and possible. The telephone, as Mr. Harrison concedes, is a buster of a good thing. Even if you do know that probably 6 interested people are listening along the line." "That's the worst of it," sighed Diana. "It's so annoying to hear the receivers going down whenever you ring anyone up. They say Mrs. Harmon Andrews insisted that their phone should be put in their kitchen just so that she could listen whenever it rang and keep an eye on the dinner at the same time. Today, when you called me, I distinctly heard that queer clock of the pie striking. So no doubt Josie